story.
You've got, speaking of updates, you've got a rich list update from last week.
Well, I remember stepping into your studio last week. We should call it Twiggy Tuesday, because I stepped into your studio last week and said, Andrew Twiggy Forrest, the founder of Fortescue, has made $700 million today when the share price has gone up, blah, 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 and he's now worth $10.8 billion. Now, fast forward 2 days, and the rich list came out on Thursday, the BRW rich list, and they put him down at $9.41 billion because of their print deadlines and things, so they missed the last sort of 10% of his run. And today, Twiggy shares are up another 4.5%. They briefly touched $12. They finished up 50 cents to $11.74. So today his stake has hit $12 billion, a nice round $12 billion. And given that the markets are crunching at the moment, they're getting hammered, Westfield, so Frank Lowy, Rupert Murdoch and James Packer are all sort of getting close to being half Twiggy. So in 1 year you can go from being number five to almost double your nearest rival. And the other remarkable thing about Fortescue's share price rises today is that today, in market value terms, Fortescue has gone past Westfield and Woolworths, which are both worth $32.8 billion, and Twiggy's finished up with Fortescue worth $32.9 billion tonight. So up to number seven in terms of the league ladder of most valuable companies, if you exclude News Corp and Rio, because they're both sort of foreign listed. So if you number nine, if you include those two, or number seven, if you don't. So where's it going to end?
Well, answer your own question.
Well, I mean, you know what I would do if I was the West Australian government? You know how yesterday the Queensland government put on a super increase in the coal royalties?
Yes.
Up from 7% to 10%. The iron ore boys are only paying 3.75.
Are they now?
So with, you know, Twiggy going from nothing to $12 billion. If I was Mr. WA Premier, and he's borrowing with his ears pinned back at the moment, I mean, WA, like all states, is careering into debt. We've had the New South Wales budget today, $6.8 billion of new debt over the next year. All states are careering into debt. And the Queensland's slugged the coal miners yesterday. So I would be clobbering Twiggy, saying, come on, mate, you're worth $12 billion. You're only paying 3.75% royalty. We don't have any poker machines over here. You know, we need the money. So we're going to make you 8%, 9%, you know, 10%, just like Queensland. You'd raise $3 billion a year like that.
And probably wouldn't make that much of a dent.
Well, the North West Shelf copped there.
They did.
$500 million a slug. And Woodside shares went up 10% the next week.
Yeah.
So they're all making so much money. When your prices are doubling and tripling, as we're seeing with, you know, oil and iron ore and coal and gas, who cares if the royalty goes from 7 to 10 or 3.7 to 8 or something? The state governments, I reckon they've got to get some of this windfall for themselves, for the citizens.
They're all listening right now going, Stephen told us, when they ring up Twiggy and say, hi, we'd like to take a bit more of a slice of your richness, but Stephen said it was okay. Look, he'll say, far be it for me then to argue. Stephen May with me. Stephen, a great idea in terms of a campaign, an ad campaign for binge drinking. Read the anti-binge drinking ads that might target young women in particular. You could invent a fake cosmetics brand called Alcohol. You could then run ads similar to typical cosmetic ads that show the young women getting progressively less pretty as they become more intoxicated. Isn't that good?
That's creative.
That's really good.
Russell Howcroft, where is he?
Where is he? Exactly right. And what about a campaign called Surely? Surely I didn't act like that. Surely I wasn't that rude. Surely I can something with everybody telling me that they're too busy to come out. Surely I should take that long, hard look at myself. That's from Steve. That's pretty good too. And a question for you. Can the Reserve Bank make interest rate decisions if they take out the petrol price and the effect that it has on the society out of the question?
Oh, well, I guess strictly speaking they can, but it's not a fixed model where, you know, the basket of goods shows it's more than 2 to 3%, therefore we hit the electric fence and crush the economy until we're back below 3%. So, yes, if there's some sort of aberration, it can be taken into account, which it will be in this case. So, but we're seeing price rises across the board, and the whole thing they're trying to stop is the flow on, is the inflation expectations, and the biggest factor in that is wages. So once you get the childcare workers following the teachers and then the miners saying, well, the petrol's gone up, and then you get perpetuated inflation from everyone leaping over each other. So that's the biggest thing they try and stamp out. So if you've got a one-off with food prices, commodity prices, petrol, oil, You can see that, like the GST with a one-off. It came through in the figures, but we all knew it was a new tax, and so it was a one-off. So, look, it's in the inflation figures, but the most important thing they look at is the overall inflation across the whole system, and wages is the biggest factor that they're looking at the moment.
Okay. What did you make of Alan Bond being in the rich list?
Well, I mean, I was pretty shocked.
You weren't the only one.
To be honest. So, yeah, and I sort of said to myself, who's funding this guy? And it turns out Credit Suisse, which is in there at 101 Collins Street, gave him an $85 million loan for his Madagascar oil play. And it was funny, I was actually up in Sydney on Friday at the Babcock and Brown annual meeting, and beamed in on the big screen from New York was a fellow called Joe Raby, who's the chairman emeritus of Credit Suisse. So I got up and said, "What the hell are you doing, mate? Don't you know that Bondi's the biggest crook we've ever had? Who's financing? It's you." And I got massively slapped down by the chairman in about 2 seconds. I couldn't finish my spray at this guy. But, yeah, I was shocked. I mean, I thought that his reputation was so bad that no one would bank him. But it seems that there are African governments which give him access to resources. There are fellow shareholders, and there are bankers like Credit Suisse who have no qualms. So, you know, global capital, ethics and a conscience, never the twain shall meet, I'd almost say. Pretty disappointing stuff.
It is pretty disappointing, but it sort of seems to me that that sort of stuff will be going on. There are major unfortunate governments right around the world that are getting constantly bankrolled.
Well, he's pretty good at dealing with sort of colourful people. I mean, Pinochet sold him, you know, half the Chilean phone company, and this was Bondi's big claim, is if the banks hadn't put him under, the Chilean phone company had like quadrupled on Wall Street in the 3 or 4 years after they put him under. So his whole argument was, they cleaned me out too early, these greedy banks, as he told Andrew Denton, and based on my deal with Pinochet, I'd be still a billionaire, which is actually true.
Yes.
I mean, they can also, that Rupert Murdoch almost went under, he's now worth, what, $7 billion. Frank Lowy got into strife with the debt crisis, and now worth $6 billion. Twiggy almost went under. I mean, so a lot of them almost go under, and it just depends if you get actually cleaned out like Bondi did and then locked up, you're hard to recover.
There must be a certain type of person that can cope with that sort of lifestyle, I suppose, that sort of insecurity, because whilst there are massive highs and Twiggy's going through that right now, that, as you say, though, potentially could have been cleaned out, others have been, where that what's going on in that part of your life doesn't affect what you do on a day-to-day basis and how you sleep at night. I don't really understand that. Maybe I'm just not a risk taker.
Well, it's all about risk. I mean, even Solomon Liu, you know, he's back as a billionaire now, but he bought Frank Lowy's stake in Coles Myer in 1989 when he shouldn't have, and almost went broke. And he looked over the cliff because he took on too much debt. So, and we're seeing it now right across the world with all those who've taken on too much debt and too much risk getting absolutely clobbered. I mean, poor old Babcock and Brown, they had, I think, six people on the rich list last year, the financial engineering sort of firm that copies Macquarie Bank. And their shares are down 8% today to a three-year low of $11.11 because of all these fears about debt, and they've taken on too much risk. And so all those paper multimillionaires are seeing their wealth disappear rapidly with a plunging share price.
And is it a game in a way? I mean, do they look at each other's share price and each other's wealth and think to themselves, well, I'm competing with them? Or how does their mindset work?
Well, I think the way it worked in Australia was we had this amazing resurgence in financial engineers. So back in the 1980s, it was all about the paper shufflers, and they were, you know, shuffling assets. And we basically had a new phase of that. And it was pioneered by Macquarie buying up toll roads and airports and power stations and creating infrastructure funds and creaming out massive fees. And then you had Babcock and Orco and MFS all come along as Macquarie imitators. We had a ridiculous five-year credit boom where banks all over the world would lend to anyone. And just like we had a crazy credit boom in the 1980s where even Alan Bond could get $10 billion of debt, you know, because he won the America's Cup, you know, of course he's a good credit. Just, you know, credit implosion, same as the 80s, happened again. All those who took too much risk, too much debt, are going under. And the big question is, who can hang on? That's what we're looking at now. Who can hang on? And Macquarie Bank shares have fallen 25% in the last 10 trading days. So they're back on the slide. Mm. Babcocks have just been crunched today. Centro and Orco are now looking more like they're going to fall over. And the global credit crunch is simultaneously playing out at the same time as this unprecedented resources boom. And they are almost like two completely separate stories. You've got Twiggy, China, BHP, Rio over here, sending the market soaring. And then you've got $1 trillion of household debt, global credit crunch, Australia's $600 billion of foreign debt, and all the financial engineers getting absolutely hammered. And it's happening again right now, like today, a big 1.3% crunch in the market, all the financials getting clobbered. And it's just hard to keep up with just every day.
Getting pulled in two directions. We're a country that's getting pulled in both directions.
Absolutely right, yes.
You're going to be discussing some stuff on the television with Mr. Jones on Q&A. Is that right?
Yeah, look, should be a bit of fun on the Thursday nights. Go on the website and send in your questions. It's a bit scary, you know, this format. They don't tell you the topics. So you turn up there. It's live. Like, normally these shows, like, I think Difference of Opinion, were like an hour delayed. So if you really, if you froze or something, they edit it out so you're safe. And you know the topics you're going to discuss. Whereas this thing is a genuine look, mum, no hands.
Yeah. It's a thinking person's version of Thank God You're Here.
By the way, that's not my voice. That was Brad, who's just made his way in. And Derek's here as well, because there's a cast of thousands now.
Oh, yes.
Yes, a bit like that. A bit thinking person's Thank God You're Here. Not saying that they don't think on Thank God You're Here. They do a lot. And who are you on with?
Well, it's still finalising it, but I think Julie Bishop, Nicola Roxon, and I think Greg Sherrod, another journalist. So, and they're still finalising the last one. So, yeah. Should be...
Good luck, Stephen.
Should be fun.